Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all know what that sound means. We are back. Another week of gameplay. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this week. I got my boys with me. Y'all know who it is. I'm your host, Mimi. Sorry about last week. We were out. I was out of the country, but we are back with another great show planned for you guys this evening. I got my boys, D. I got my boy, Big Marv, on the line. Welcome, boys. How you guys doing?
Good, good, good to be on deck, getting ready for the draft.
Getting ready for the draft. All right, I see. Well, it's good to have you in the conversation, Marv, because, you know, you be disappearing sometimes. We don't be knowing what be going on with you.
Man, I'm still here, even when I'm not here.
Is it a facade? Is it a mirage? Is it really him?
It's the hologram.
It sounds like it.
It's the Marv box.
It sounds like it. I think it's him, yeah. I think it's him this time. Well, we are glad to be back. We have a great show planned for you guys this evening. We have a lot to talk about with the draft. I know these guys, you want to hear their opinion and what's going on. There's been a lot of shaking and baking in the league. There's been a lot of people in and out. So we're definitely going to get into it. We're definitely going to talk about it. Big news on the block more recently than not. It was a little bit last week's news, but like I said, we were gone last week, so we're going to touch bases on everything that's happened over the past 2 weeks. So big news, biggest news probably in football going forward right now, or at least that happened last week, Julian Edelman has been released by the New England Patriots, and he has now announced his retirement. How are you guys feeling about that? Do you feel like he's really retiring, or this is a ploy? I'll start with you, D, because you have the most opinion, on the New England Patriots and the things that are happening with them, and you have been spot on most of the time. So what are you thinking with this? Is he really retiring?
Because of the way he retired, when I read into it a little more, I think it is pretty much over. He couldn't pass a physical, so I don't see too many other teams wanting to pick him up, even if he wanted to go play ball, because of him not being able to pass a physical. He's got a job on NFL Insider. I think that's what a lot of people are talking about, where he's going to be an analyst anyway. So he might hang it up for a little bit, but it doesn't mean he's out. He might do a Gronkowski, just sit out a year, get some rehabilitation, and then come back for Tom Brady's grand finale second year. So that's what I think is happening. Just physically, he can't do it. No team can pick him up based on their guidelines and contracts. So I'm going to go, I think he's retired based on that. I don't think it's a ploy.
All right. Marv, where are you at with that?
Yeah, my instinct says he's done. I think he's done. I think if he was into the whole, you know, stick with Tom gimmick, he would have tried to do that last year. I think he was, he's in a situation where he's got uncertainty at quarterback. He's got, you know, all that going against him. So New England's really not a place for him anymore. I mean, there's a lot of places in the league that could use his work, could use his help. And if he's willing to go play there, then he definitely can tack a couple more seasons onto his career. But the question is, does he really want to, you know, uproot and do all of that? Seems to me like the easier play here is just to go into the analyst role and retire. That's what I think he's really going to do.
Well, I agree with what both of you guys are saying. I obviously think he's going to retire because I would hate to see him come out of retirement and be back with Brady. Not that I think that it would be a bad move for him, but just because it just seems like all the Patriots are now going to Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay is the new New England Patriots. So, you know, it just bothers me a little bit in that sense. But other than that, you know, obviously I saw it coming kind of. He was getting injured every year. It's like he couldn't stay healthy. And then he had the whole failing the drug test situation as well, which, you know, to me that was like him taking drugs to try to, like, pull through his injury. I don't see Edelman as, like, a drug user. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see him as, like, oh, you know, I can't stop smoking weed or, you know, I can't stop popping pills. I feel like his failure on his drug test was more on recovering from his injury. So I think, you know, he just, you know, he's fragile. He's gotten hit. He's taken a couple crazy hits, you know, over the course of his career. And I think that, you know, it's taken a toll on him. And, you know, that CTE is real, you know, and he's seeing a lot of these players who are, you know, retiring late and doing all this stuff and then doing all this crazy stuff after they retire and it being attributed to, you know, CTE. So I just wonder if he's just trying to play a preventative game, you know, in the long term of trying to preserve, you know, what kind of life that he's going to be living after football. Because when it's all said and done, they have to figure out what kind of life they're going to have, you know, after football. Because football is a short stint of their life. Not a lot of players can play for 20 years like Tom Brady. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't happen very often that a football career lasts that long. So you have to figure, like, what else can you do, you know, after football? So I do think that he is going to retire a Patriot. I feel like he is pretty loyal to them. I don't see him going to Tampa Bay. I would be shocked if he came out of retirement like and do what like a Gronk did or something like that and then go to Tampa Bay. But you know, you never know. You never know with this game. It always got some surprises ready to pop up, but I agree with you guys. I think this retirement is serious. Sad to see him go. Do want to wish him well. If he wants to be an analyst, that's going to be interesting to me because I'm wondering, like, how he's going to be. Like, I never really heard him, like, you know, I mean, I've heard him in interviews and stuff like that, but never really, like, analyzing anything. So this should be interesting to see where he lands a job and exactly who he's going to be talking about.
I could see him in, like, a Tennessee Titans role. They got a real need for a veteran receiver to lead those guys, because they got talent at receiver, dominance at the running back, a capable quarterback, but he's going to need talent to support him. If he does want to hook up with his old teammate Mike Vrabel, go down to Tennessee for a season, who knows, somebody might put some money on it. You know, it might be a check involved. It might be a reason to go play. We'll see, man. I actually would like to see him take another run at it somewhere, but we'll see. You're right. That CTE is real. So we'll see.
It has definitely got some of these players doing some crazy things, whether they're labeling CTE or not. I do have a group chat with my cousins, and every time something crazy comes up with one of these players, they always commenting CTE. It's not funny, but it's just like, you know, you don't realize how the hits really affect these players until, like, it affects them long term, you know. So when I heard he's retiring, I'm like, man, it's too early for him to retire. It's only been a certain amount of time, but can you imagine, you know, from childhood to now, his whole life getting all these hits. Like you said, like we're talking about, oh, his NFL career was short. Yeah, but he's been playing football since he's probably 5 years old, you know? So it's like they've been getting these hits for their whole life. So it has been a long time that he's been playing. And that is, you know, what we forget to consider when we're talking about why are they ending their career so early, especially once they get into the NFL and have a very short stint. But, I mean, not that his was that short, but, you know, in some cases it's shorter than others. So what was I going to say? Oh, D, I was going to ask you. So what do you think? Let's stay on the Patriots real quick since we're already talking about them. So
well,
they got
of course,
Edelman
let's
now.
Stay on the Patriots. Let's do that, okay?
We might as well since we started with them. So who do you think replaces where does their talent come? Who is that inside slot receiver that replaces Edelman, or who takes that job that he has been doing for so many years?
I mean, Mark can go. I might have a thing or two on this.
All right, Mark. Who takes Edelman's position? What do the Patriots do with Edelman out?
I think the Patriots go receiver in the first round. There's a lot of talent this year in receiver. You know, I think now, given the fact that they really are turning over at the position, they're going to really need a shot in the arm. They really were lacking a talent at that position this past season, and I think that was the real difference in how the entire season played out. To be honest, they just, you know, they didn't give Cam enough talent at the position to really bail him out of situations when the blitz and the pressure was on. So I don't know. I could see like a one of those Alabama receivers, maybe. You know, somebody's going to probably be the savior over there in the first round. I think they got to go with somebody out of the draft.
All right, potentially the Patriots might be moving up a little bit. I heard some rumor mills that they might be getting a higher spot in the draft, so you could be right about them snagging a receiver. Where are you at with this, D?
I don't see them needing a receiver in the first round. They can get them in the later rounds and develop them. Because they're going to go with this two tight end set, I think they're going to be just fine with putting anybody in that slot position because they're not going to need them to do as much as Edelman did, especially when they're going to go back to what they know when it was Hernandez and Gronk. The slot receiver was really obsolete at that point. They were just using them when they can. He wasn't heavily used. And so since they're going back to that formula, they'll be able to do without a premier slot receiver right away. So they can grab somebody late round, develop them the way that they want them to do, Patriot way, and utilize the two prolific tight ends that they're going to have to go along with the running game of Cam Newton and whatever running back trio they have going on. So I don't think they're going to need to do anything in that position. I think they're just fine with the two receivers they got. They got N'Keal Harry. So he's going to be wide open a lot more now because they're going to be predicated to that two tight end set. And then whatever slot receiver they're able to develop, he'll be able to get some catches here or there when Cam needs to roll out. And then, like I said, they're going to get Fields. So they're going to be more mobile quarterback in anyway, so the slot is not going to be as necessary. That's where I'm going with it. I think they get someone, but not until late round. I don't think they'll waste a top pick on that. I think they're going to keep working on their defense, maybe their line, maybe their D-line, what they're usually known for, to use picks on that. I don't see them doing a high-profile receiver. It's not necessary when they can just develop somebody for that role anyway.
Right, in the first round. Okay, so sticking with the Patriots for a second here, I saw that the Patriots were, taking a look at Justin Fields. And so we had a conversation about this, about, you know, them eyeing another quarterback. Obviously, they're going to need somebody. Cam is a temporary answer. I don't see him being a long-term answer for the Patriots. So do you think this is like, do you think that they saw what they needed from him, or do you think they were just looking like everybody else at options? What do you think? How that look went when they went to go see him? Do you think that he would fit into their program nicely? Do you think he would develop well under Cam Newton? Because I feel like, you know, they would do like something like how the Saints were with him, like Drew Brees and Taysom Hill. Well, how do you guys
think? I told you this was going to happen. I had a great feeling this was going to happen, so thank you for believing in me when I told y'all about this report. Fields is going to be just fine. Cam is going to be just fine. Cam had no talent. So we cannot take last year for the Patriots with any grain of salt. He was playing with fourth-tier receivers, backups, like I guess people that were on the practice squad. They only were running the ball. They weren't even throwing the ball. Like, you can't even look at that season and say what they're going to be able to do. But what you can take away from the season is Cam is going to get more time with the grouping, the team. He's going to get some talent. He's got talent on the offense with the two tight ends. They're going to be able to run the ball. They're going to be able to throw the ball. It's going to be a run-pass option. They're going to be able to open up the book because the COVID season's over. People are going to come back. The talented people that are laid off the season are coming back, and Justin Fields is going to flourish under Cam because they're similar in talent. It's just Justin Fields is a better quarterback with the arm talent, not anything else. Like, they're both athletic. Justin Fields is out of this world fast, but he's not built as big and sturdy as Cam. So that would be the only difference that I see is that. But I think that they'll be able to have time to keep Cam for the next 2 or 3 years, if not just two, to let Fields develop into the system, yes, into the quarterback that they need him to be. So it's right. The plan is perfect. That's what I think they're doing, and Cam is healthy enough and young enough to give him that time. And he's a good enough quarterback to sustain that. That other part is just being good enough to do that.
So potentially, would they have to take him in the first round?
Who, Fields? Yeah.
No, that's – yeah, Fields.
Yeah,
no,
Fields.
I know.
Yeah, he's got to go. Yeah, they're going – that's where they're going to go with their pick. They're taking him with their top pick. And then they have him as a backup behind Cam. And then they're going to probably go lineman. Or I think they're going to go O-lineman. They don't need to worry about running back too much. I mean, they can find a running back in the later portion of the draft. But up front, you're going to get a quarterback and lineman, either defensive lineman or you're going to get offensive lineman. That's where they're lacking the most, and that's where they need to go. O-line, D-line, quarterback. So I feel Fields is going to go, and then they're going to build some defensive pieces, or they're going to go offensive. That's what I think they're going to do.
Very good. Well, I mean, I like that. I can't really argue with that, you know, because I was looking into it, and it just makes sense, you know, for them long term. And if they are going to invest in something, that's what they need to invest in, because they're pretty good at developing underrated players and, you know, getting, you know, people in the right spots at the right time. So I don't see them having a problem filling the holes. What I do see them having a problem is filling the hole at quarterback. That is a part where you can't teach that, you know what I'm saying? Like, they just have to have that, you know what I mean? That's not something where you can take a mediocre quarterback and put him into that position and expect him to be great. I feel like you need
Are
to
you
have
sure?
some type of talent there already. So I feel like they're looking – huh?
Tom Brady was developed.
He was. He was developed because he wasn't good his first couple of years. He was a game manager. I'm not saying that, but they coming from Tom Brady, like, he developed in a way that game has never seen before. And I highly doubt that we will ever see someone develop from that ever again. Like, Patrick Mahomes was good from the bat. You know, Deshaun Watson was good from the bat. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is the boy coming out of Clemson? I can't think of his name right now. Tell me his name.
Lawrence?
Trevor Lawrence?
Yes. Mind blank.
Trevor Lawrence.
We know potentially he is going to be good from the bat. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm saying, like, no, but they're not looking to draft another sixth-round quarterback and then develop him into a Tom Brady. Like, that may or may never happen again is what I'm saying. That was, like,
that's never
going to
happen
again. Lifetime.
You can't develop a
that's
Tom
what I'm
Brady.
Saying.
That's Tom Brady.
That's what I'm saying.
Fields is a prototypical quarterback that they can utilize just for athleticism, but he's also cerebral. They like his intelligence. If you read the scouting report, it's not just his arm and his speed. It's his way that he can read defenses. the way that he can catch up to the speed of the game. And that's what Tom Brady had, minus the athleticism. So if you can have cerebral and athleticism, you're definitely going to do something that might not have ever been done before. So that's why I think they're going for him for all the package deal. And like you said, you can't develop a Tom Brady. That is never going to happen. That guy is
right.
The GOAT for a reason. There's no way you're going to be able to replicate that. But if you can get someone that can come in within the next couple of years and be okay and then develop, then you're doing pretty good with quarterback.
Well, right. That's what I mean. Like, that's what I meant. Like, then you're never going to get another Tom Brady. So I was like, their best bet is to get somebody who has what they're looking for as far as talent, killer instinct, versatility, and then develop those talents that they already have, into being something great. So we'll see what happens. What do you think, Marv? Do you feel like that would be their best move as far as picking up Fields in the first round if they're able to move up in the draft? Because I also think if they're not able to move up in that spot, I feel like they're trying to move up in that spot so they can get Fields. I feel like if they don't move up in that spot, they won't get him.
So it's weird because the way quarterbacks are overvalued in the NFL right now, it does make a lot of sense that you're moving up in this day and age, that you are moving up to take either a quarterback or like one of the top five talents in the draft because you think they're one of those once in a generation type position players. So either they are moving up because there's a once-in-a-generation position player somewhere, you know, or it is for Fields. There might be some once-in-a-generation receivers in this draft, but other than that, it's either that or a quarterback, it looks like to me. And I don't know, man. Have you ever seen an Ohio State quarterback amount to much? He's got some other stuff going on with his health, I guess he's managing epilepsy or something like that. You know, it just adds to the risk.
Oh, yeah,
remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I just don't know if, he must be really blowing it out the water and he's scouting for us if he's really a threat to go in that spot like that. I don't know. I could see it happening if it really is coming down to what the scouting reports and the inside scoop is on him like that. If for my money, I wouldn't go for it. I would fade it because I just haven't seen it work before. I guess they could make it work. I just haven't seen it happen before. You can win the Big Ten by just out-recruiting everybody at all of the positions and then just, you know, be vanilla on offense like Ohio State has been for the last 25 years. And it's working, but, you know, it hasn't amounted to one decent quarterback.
Yeah, but I think in the NFL, quarterback play, although, like, you can get a game manager, quarterback play is still a priority because, you know, even with mediocre quarterbacks, teams are still flopping, you know what I'm saying? In order to be a true contender, mm-hmm. your quarterback has to be in the top 10 for sure.
Andy Dalton, Chicago.
Is that a joke? Is that a joke?
Who was that?
Right. You said
I know that has to
still
be
make it. Hey, Andy Dalton got a deal in Chicago. Hey, mediocre can still make it. Fitzpatrick
sure
is a Redskin. Fitzpatrick
right. Yeah, I didn't say no. What I did not say that they
Chicago is ridiculous. You can't really.
What I
anything.
Said was, will they be contenders?
No, I'm agreeing with you. No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying, like, the fact that we're saying, like, mediocre, so I was like, yeah, the NFL still believes in mediocrity, so that just
right.
shows the show. That Fitzpatrick is still getting deals. Still.
Right.
Like, still. I don't, and it's starting deals, too. It's not like he's a backup or anything. He's literally starting. So,
I know.
That's
what it's definitely.
It's just odd.
Yes.
So
it's definitely going to be interesting to see, you know, this year. I'm excited for this year because this year is definitely going to be so much different than last year. I think the competition is going to be much better, and we got a lot of new exciting players that are going to be entering the league this year. And you never know, like, you know, you never know who's going to get hurt and who's going to have to step up and play and, you know, show what they can do. So this year should be very interesting. Speaking of moves, let's talk about Clowney. You talked about it a little bit. You sent me the article. Clowney got a 1-year contract with the Browns. How are you taking this? Do you feel like they don't know about his injuries? Why only the 1-year contract? What do you believe that they're trying to see here?
Well, like anybody, he was supposed to be a number one draft pick and has not came close to what they expected. So anywhere he's gone, he's never gotten a deal, right? Like, the Texans didn't want to sign him, so then he went to Seattle. Seattle didn't want to sign him. He went to Tennessee. Tennessee didn't sign him, and now he's with the Browns. So the league has already seen what he has to offer. Even when he was next to J.J. Watt, he really didn't do anything, and J.J. Watt caused double teams all the time, and you did nothing with that. So they know that they're going to get a great athlete for bottom tier money. It's kind of like what the Patriots did with Cam. I don't have to pay a lot for a great opportunity to see how talented he can be. This might be the year where he's like, you know what, I need this because this could be my last contract, and they might get a great year out of him, and then they can sign him to something. That's what they're trying to do. Like, see if this your last hurrah can get you to actually do what we believe that you could do. You know, and if not, we didn't spend any money, we didn't spend any time, just like the rest of the teams did for him. So that's all I see is he didn't pan out. He wasn't good. But what they talked about him, as far as analysts go, his motor was not there. And we saw it. He turned it on sometimes, and then the other times he never showed up. It was – he played when he wanted to. So he put himself in this position based on his effort. Not his ability, not his God-given talent, not his stature, not his speed, not his strength, effort. And it goes to show you that you can have all the tools in the bucket, but if you don't know how to use them, you can't make anything.
Well, that's the same thing. Like, he's definitely, like, you know, his injuries were, you know, detrimental to his career a little bit. I feel like getting injured early on did not help him. I feel like it kind of – you know how when you get injured and then you kind of get scared, you know, but when you're like, when you've been playing your whole career, no injuries, you feel like bulletproof, and then you get injured and then you get a little scared because you're like, oh, shit, I am, you know, I'm not invincible, you know? I feel like that's how he plays now. Like, you'll see spurts of his old self, but you never see him go crazy, you know, like he was, like, in college or like he was, you know, before he got hurt. So I'm just wondering, even with this 1-year contract, I mean, granted, going to the Browns, I mean, now they're stacked, but is he really going to make a difference? That's going to be the key. Where are you at with this, Marv?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm back and forth on Clowney. On one hand, I think he's going to a kind of defense where he can be a real big contribution because he's saddling up on a real good defense in Tennessee already. On the other hand, I think he's been pumped up his whole career. He had one amazing highlight tackle against that Michigan running back in college, where he knocked the guy's helmet off and caught him 3 or 4 yards in the backfield. Just a bang-bang play. And they college football rolled that highlight all season long and pumped him up to be the biggest thing in college football that year. But he really ain't that talented a pass rusher. He never really was. He's a freak athlete. But as you see, athleticism in the NFL is a way different conversation than even the SEC. Circa whatever that was, 8-9 years ago, or how long it's been. Fact is, I think he's been overrated his whole career, and it ain't his fault. I guess it's more or less the analyst's fault for overrating him. That being said, like I said, I think he's in a perfect spot to really get his name back out there and make some tackles, have a decent season, maybe, you know, get a few sacks and be legit. But he never was a difference-making type of athlete, the kind of person you want to draft with the first overall pick in the NFL draft. He never has been that guy to me.
Right. I do agree. I don't think that he's definitely lived up to his name. But somebody who we expected to live up to the name, who now is talking very confidently and ready to come back for 2021, is Joe Burrow. So he is feeling healthy. He is feeling ready. Do you feel like this is what we were just talking about? We'll start with you on this one, Marv. Do you feel like he is going to be playing a little scared now, especially going back to Cincinnati where he has, you know, his offensive line is not up to par? Do you feel like he is going to be playing a little shaky, not confident like we're used to seeing him play because of this injury?
Well, I tell you what. The first non-quarterback coming off the board might be at number five, and it might be that offensive tackle that he's going to need to protect him going long-term, which is really crazy. Man, what's the guy's name? He's got the Samoan name.
Oh, I had it on my freaking notes, and I was talking about him last time. Yeah, I'll get it to you.
Yeah. I'll grab it for me while I'm talking. But no.
Go ahead. I got you.
He's got to have that protection. You got to have a big brother at left tackle to keep you safe. I don't know. I think Burrow's got the right winning personality. He's got the winning personality, so he's not going to play scared. I think he's too much of a hero to play scared. He looked decent before he got hurt last year. I think he's going to. You know, he's going to have to guard against that sophomore slump because now there's some tape out on him, so to speak. But, you know, I don't know. I think Joe Burrow makes it long-term in this league. Now, is he a Super Bowl quarterback? I guess that's yet to be written. It's not in the bag. But
right.
I think we're going to get – yeah, I think we get a healthy season out of Burrow. I don't see him being one of these guys that go up and go down and go up and go down on injuries. I think he battles back from that rehab. I think he's going to, you know, he's got the challenge on his plate already with having to come back from the injury. So he's going to have the fire burning all the way going into the season. So I think he's going to hit the ground running pretty good. And then, you know, maybe he gets the ball to bounce his way and he has a really good second season. But I think either way, he's here to stay. I think he's legit. I don't think he's a bust at all.
Okay. Did you get his name? D, what do you think about how Joe Burrow is going to come back? Do you feel like he is going to be playing a little bit scared, especially if Cincinnati doesn't, you know, get something to protect him?
Yeah, I think he's going to have everybody who comes back from an injury like that is going to see ghosts at first. It isn't until he actually gets hit and hits the floor that he's going to make up his mind, like, you know what, let's do this or I can't do this, and he's never going to be the same. And no one's going to be able to say that better than anybody than him. He's got the swagger. He's got the confidence, but that's before you were bulletproof, right? Which is what you said, before you actually got your legs ripped from under you. And they haven't changed their line. It's the same people. So it's not like
right.
that got any better, you know, so it's not like they went out and revamped everything and made sure everything was good to go. So that is going to be the test, is when he really suits up, gets hit, and I really see him catch a good one, not like, oh, they push him to the floor, you know. When he catches a good one and he just throws a ball and it's good and he's shaking it off, or he throws a bad ball but he shakes it off, like, you'll see his attitude. Like you always say, you can tell when Brady's on and when he's off. You will see that in his swagger on the field. So I got to see him on the field, especially with the fact that they haven't changed anything at line, because I'd still be scared if I'm him, because they haven't gotten better at all.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm like. So when, you know, he's going to be looking to not get injured, which means he's going to be getting the ball out of his hands maybe quick, maybe a little bit too quick. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that is going to be a cause for a little bit of error, maybe some turnovers to try to protect himself. Because he, no matter what he does, he's going to be better being on the field than off the field, you know? So I'm just wondering you know, what he's going to do with that as far as, like, especially if, you know, they don't get, I mean, I'm not saying they won't eventually or at least try to figure it out, but if that's not their priority, you know, in the first round, I'm wondering how this season is going to go for them, because we actually thought, you know, Cincinnati's always been like a good team. They've always been a team that's like been there, but we thought that them having this quarterback was going to take them to the next level. And then obviously he gets injured and that was devastating, you know, all around the league. So I'm just wondering, you know, how he's going to be babying this injury going forward. So I guess we'll have to see what happens. Like I said, he's had a few interviews. He's ready to play.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to come on a little crazy theory on it real quick.
Go ahead.
Let's say he's just capping about being ready to go, and he's really needing a whole lot more rehab, and he's probably going to take a whole nother season to get ready. Then they go get Ja'Marr Chase, his running mate from LSU, tank a whole nother season, and then get ready to go in year three. That's the only way I could see this not working out, where they don't take that offensive tackle to shore up that offensive line.
Denise Will.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Denise Will, baby. Got it.
I mean, his boy
so
is
you're
sitting
saying
right there.
They go
could
for
go
Chase.
Draft
you're
his
saying
boy.
They go for Chase. Yeah, they go for Chase and just let him to kind of throw off what people are thinking that they're going to do in the draft, and then he may not
right.
even come back this season.
Right, yeah. Take your time, heal up well, take the season to, you know, maybe draft him, his you know, favorite receiver in the world, maybe. Who knows? I don't know. It's a theory. I believe in my first theory a whole lot more than this one. Well, who knows? Strange
yeah,
things
they're gonna, I was still saying they're going lineman, but your lineman for Cincinnati is going to be Penei Sewell.
Yeah,
Penei
yeah,
Sewell.
That's his name.
And he's not Northwestern. I was thinking Northwestern, but he's from Oregon, actually. So he's the Oregon offensive
yeah.
tackle. So he did
yeah,
he did pretty decent, but I would have went with the Northwestern tackle over him just based on tape. But, you know, Oregon's got speed.
Yeah, the Big Ten typically does produce better tackles than the Pac-12.
Yeah, Pac-12, they're too small for me. They're fast. They're good for pulling and running sweeps, but they're not good in the trenches.
Yeah, but he's going to be there for his pass blocking, so he's got to have speed to deal with all these fast linebackers and DNs off the edge and all that. He's really not there to deal with the bruisers as much.
Right. That's why I said I picked him for his speed, because usually Oregon play all athletes are fast. They're slender and fast. They're strong, but they're really fast.
I could see your boys in Dallas getting that guy from Northwestern kind of, you know, shore up that money they put in Dak.
If they're smart, they would do that, but I don't see us doing that. I think Jerry Jones is there. He's in love with
he's
that tight
that
end,
smart.
Man.
Is he? Yeah,
he's in
I
love with the
that.
We need to get Patrick Surtain at corner, but he's in love with that tight end from the Gators.
He's a beast, man. I mean, he is a beast.
No,
and
he's a once-in-a-lifetime talent. If you're saying once-in-a-lifetime talent, that's that guy.
That's who it is in this year, man. Yeah. And, well, I mean – you see what Dak
they
does when
Dak,
we got the
so
best
now
offensive
they need
line.
To get people
though.
For Dak to get the ball to.
I mean, he got, you know, he got Zeke, he got CeeDee, you know, he got a couple talents out there. I say if they want to protect that $40 million interest, you got to get a lineman. Dallas was good,
yeah.
And they had the best offensive line in the league.
That's when Zeke was good. Our line is just suffering, man. Like,
right.
Dak suffered, Zeke suffered because our line got old and slow. Old and
right.
slow. And expensive.
That's why I'm thinking we got to reload.
Within
that
1 year, it happened so fast. What happened? I don't
know. No,
understand.
It didn't happen.
It was like,
we were trusting for the last
injuries, and Lyle Collins being a knucklehead.
God.
Exactly. Well, staying with the draft, you know, because we got to talk about it. We are less than 8 days away from the draft. We might consider doing a draft show for you guys because the draft, at least for the first round, because the first round is, you know, is always the best round to see where everybody goes. That's going to be a fun and interesting night. If not, we will do a recap for you guys the day after the draft, because I'm sure you guys are going to want to know all of our opinions on everything that's going on. Well, you know, I know that we're talking about Justin Fields going to New England, but what about Mac Jones?
He's going to 49ers.
Is that a possibility?
Yeah. Garoppolo can't stay healthy. They need to have an heir apparent already.
I think it's clear San Francisco's taking a quarterback. The question is, are they convinced that it's Mac Jones, or are they thinking about the Ohio State kid?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Because if San Francisco takes Justin Fields, and that leaves Mac Jones available for the Patriots, so who is a better fit for New England?
Nah.
I like
Mac Jones
in New England. I like Mac Jones in New England, to be honest. Saban and Belichick, They got a connection, man. They like each other's players.
You don't like it, D? You don't think so?
No, not Mac Jones to New England. Mac Jones had the greatest dynamic duo of receiver ever. He's going to go to New England and have nothing. He's going to bust. He's going to be done for.
But
he's
not
going to
play this year.
Yeah, but they're not also, and they're going to be good this year, and they're not going to get the same type of draft capital either. So you got to think about that.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I mean.
That
like,
is
you, you guys
true.
Act like they're going to be bad next year. Like they're not going to. They were not that bad this year. They just couldn't.
They're
going to
be slightly better. Slightly.
With the two tight end set, the new regime camp, and your boy. I was just talking about him, the receiver getting N'Keal Harry being able to get wide open, catching balls. Like, you got three monsters. N'Keal Harry's big, Cam Newton big, them tight ends play big. Like, you got four people on the offensive line. We're not even talking about the running game. And some of your old linemen are coming back off of the COVID list that just opted not to play. You're not going to be slightly better. You're going to be way better than you were this year.
Well, I'm happy that you have that faith in us, Dwayne, because, like, I better see you in a Patriot jersey.
It's still
going to
be the number one.
No, never. I will never trade on my team. I'm just a statistic person that understands football. But I'm saying the only reason why the Patriots sucked is because they knew they were running the ball. That's all they could do. That's their only game plan coming in was all we can do is run. When Cam threw it, he was throwing picks because people couldn't get open, and he had no receivers at all. No one was blocking for him. He had no receivers. That's not going to happen this year.
What are you doing? You're playing the game.
Well, we can only hope not. We can only hope not. So the draft's coming up, guys. Are you guys excited? What are your plans? What are you guys doing? Do you guys have your mock drafts ready?
I am not ready. I am getting ready. I see it going so many different ways. There's so many different positions that have deep, deep talent. It can go a whole bunch of different ways. It could be a lot of trades. I am definitely excited.
I'm definitely excited, too. I think this is going to be an exciting draft this year. It's in Cleveland. This year, so that should be interesting. Ohio, we should see what happens. Let's talk. Five, you know, let's see. Five picks. Okay, so do you think for sure, Trevor Lawrence is going first?
Yes,
without a doubt.
Yeah,
like Jacksonville's got first pick. What are they going to get, a lineman? Like, that's the only other best option at the first five picks. There's four quarterbacks and linemen. So they're not going to draft a lineman.
Okay, so we're going Trevor Lawrence for Jacksonville first pick. Okay, we're going to do the first five picks for the people. All right, so number two pick as of right now, if nothing else changes, is the Jets. Who are they picking?
Zach Wilson.
BYU quarterback. Zach Wilson. BYU quarterback.
Okay. Well, obviously they have to, obviously, since they also have no quarterback at this moment in time.
Yes.
Okay, BYU quarterback. So that is their best option, obviously, after Trevor Lawrence is gone. So, okay, so you hear that, people. We got Trevor Lawrence going first. We got Zach Wilson going second, number two for the Jets. Okay, number three, the 49ers. Where do they stand? Are they taking quarterback in the first round?
Yeah, Justin Fields.
So you're saying they take Justin Fields. So how?
No way.
Is New England going to even have an opportunity to get Justin Fields?
You know, I've been on this the whole time. I'm just kidding. I just had to throw that in there, see if y'all paying attention.
Of course they're paying attention.
You're killing me.
No, Mac Jones is probably going to be the one that they want to do.
So you say 49ers are going to take Mac Jones?
Yeah.
What do you say, Marv? What do you say?
I mean, yeah, it's got to be Mac Jones. I don't see any other quarterback like being good enough for you to gamble over missing Mac Jones.
All right, so we got three quarterbacks going in the first three picks of the first round. Has that even ever happened?
Yeah.
And
long time ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's been a long time since that's happened, for sure. Okay, on the fourth pick, because we're running a little bit low on time, Falcons, who are they picking in the first round?
Kyle Pitts.
I don't know. I think they're probably going to trade back. But if they don't, I think they have to take this chance to draft heir apparent to Matt Ryan, and they go quarterback also.
If they trade back, like D said, do you think they give that pick to the Patriots?
Whoever's got the most to trade back, you know, they could trade a few teams like Denver. Denver might be in a quarterback market. The Patriots as well. You know, I think they're going to have a lot to gain by dangling that pick over some teams and seeing who wants to jump up there and grab a quarterback. But let's just say, for the sake of this conversation, no one trades with them. And they take the pick.
Okay.
I think they actually have to think about the fact that, you know, Matt Ryan has seen better years. And, I mean, how often are you planning on drafting this high? I mean, you have to plan on being bad to draft this high. And I don't think anyone plans on drafting this high that often. So when you find yourself in this position, it might be time to get the next generation of quarterback in Atlanta. And, you know, I think you got to go with one of the brothers. I think you got to go with either Fields or what's the other brother from North Dakota?
North Dakota?
Yeah.
He's going to go that high?
Small school. He could, man. He's a dual threat, a legit dual threat. And we've seen Wentz have success in this league, so they're convinced that program can give you an NFL-ready quarterback. You know, you might have.
Man, I forgot what his name is. I don't have his name. I don't see him going that high.
I mean, it's if you think he's better than Fields, ultimately.
Now, what I'm updated on is the trade is the possibility what's going to kind of mess up the quarterback picks, but
Trey Lance.
I'll get into that on another one.
His name.
You know? Yeah.
Trey Lance.
So if they're saying no trade, I would say if there's no trade, I don't even if because right now if there's no trade, and I think they might get your boy Fields, man. I think they might snatch him up now that you're saying that because I forgot that they have Matt Ryan. I totally oblivious that they. So they probably will get – if Mac Jones doesn't get snatched and then something happens and Fields gets snatched first because someone saw something before that and vice versa, they're going quarterback, and it's going to be either Fields or Mac Jones. Mac Jones just if he's available, that's who they would get because he sits and plays just like Matt Ryan.
He fits in
so
their fits program,
their,
right.
In their wheelhouse. So there's a couple of things that happen if this trade doesn't happen, and I would say if – Mac Jones is available because right now when I'm looking at the listing, they're not even projecting Mac Jones to go top three.
They're not.
Are Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields goes to San Francisco is what they're saying. So that leaves Mac Jones at four for the Falcons. If this hyper J is correct, right? So that if they're not trading away, then – they're going to go Mac Jones or if Fields available, Fields, or the Bison quarterback, like you said, if he's the last one available, if all the other ones are gone. But, yeah, that's what I think. Now that I'm looking at that, yeah, that's probably where it's going to go. Mel Kiper and McChay say they want to get the tight end, but I don't see why you get a tight end and then they have no heir apparent. Because you might not have a draft that's loaded with quarterbacks again.
Yeah, I guess it's really if you believe in Matt Ryan. You think he's, like, got five more years in him.
Yeah, that's true. But it also depends on, you know, what the GM does, you know, because if they could be keeping Matt Ryan for another year if they trade back. So, because if they trade back, they're not going to draft a quarterback, I don't think. I don't think that would be, you know, conducive to what they're trying to do because – at that point, the quarterbacks that they would need to draft are not going to be there anymore by the time they, you know, get to whatever pick they traded back for.
Well, one of those other quarterbacks might be. I mean, depending on where they go. The only other team that needs a quarterback in the next few picks is, like, Denver? Because everybody's not thinking quarterback. Depends on, I don't know, they could play where they trade back to 11 or whatever. What's the Patriots pick?
15, I think.
15. They could hit like a 15 and still get whichever quarterback is left.
Who's number 15?
I think Patriots are 15.
No, they're not. That's Detroit.
Are you sure? Because I'm looking at this thing right now.
No, that's because they made a move. Yeah, they're 15. Well, they have them.
They made a move?
Well, Detroit is 7.
Yeah. Detroit is 7.
Yeah, that's the mock trade. So, yeah, it is the vice versa. I'm looking at the mock draft. So, yeah, that's vice versa. So, 7-15. So, New England is 15. So, they are going to try and trade up to get them. So, that's what I think. But, yeah, Patriots are going to have to make a move. They're going to have to jump a lot to get somebody.
Right. They're going to have to jump some spaces.
Yeah, a lot. Because they're done if they don't.
You're right. They're going to be looking for a quarterback next year if they don't. They're going to have to stick with it. Okay. Last pick of this round. Next week, you guys will get you on the 6 through 10, our picks for the draft. So Cincinnati, we already kind of touched on them a little bit. Let's just go real quick. Who are they choosing?
The phone broke up.
Yeah, we really did touch on that one. It, you know, it's either the offensive tackle from Oregon or maybe they double down on Burrow and go get his number one receiver from LSU and go get Chase. But either or, I think they get the tackle, to be honest with you.
They need to go with who's more important instead of, you know, trying to go for who he's going to be comfortable playing with because his protection is more important than who he's throwing the ball to at this point because all of these receivers that are going to go in the first round are, even that are going to go in the second and third round, are talented. It's more important that they get somebody to protect him and somebody good than, you know, to have somebody to catch the ball for him.
Yeah, you don't want him going out
like
that.
Because if he can't get the ball to the receiver, it don't matter.
Yeah, he could easily end up being an Andrew Luck type where he, you know, all the talent in the world, but just the way you play the game, you hold on to the ball just a little bit too much and you take one too many shots and then
he's scared.
It's over before it gets started. And, I mean,
he's
sometimes
scared.
You get your perfectionist. Some guys sit in that pocket and just will just not take no for an answer, and they just sit back there and hold the ball sometimes too long. It's just because they're trying to make a play. You got to, you know, you got to have that escapability. But I think Burrow's going to get that. I think he does have good instinct. So as long as he comes back mobile, he's got to have his mobility.
All right, D, real quick here. What are your thoughts? You sticking with what you said before? They're definitely going for an O-line pick?
Yeah, you have to. At this point, you've already seen what your lackluster ability to protect your number one pick did for you. If you're getting a quarterback, your next steps are to get a lineman and the line taken care of. That's what you need to do. And I'm sticking with it. That's where I'm at with it. It has to be done.
Well, there you have it, you guys. That is our top five picks for the draft. Like I said, we'll give you 6 through 10 next week, so make sure that you guys tune in. We're definitely running short on time. We got a 2-minute warning here, guys. Just real quick, I want to say a couple of things. We've been talking about this whole Watson dilemma for the past couple weeks. He has admitted to having, you know, that some of the allegations are true. However, he is not admitting to any sexual misconduct. So he is looking guilty right now, guys. I don't know what to say about it. We will see. We will hear more as this story develops. Also want to just, you know, say congratulations to George Floyd's family. We want to keep his name in the news because, his murderer has been found guilty. I don't even want to say his name. I don't want to give him any shine, but we are happy for them. This may not be justice, but accountability, obviously has been served, but we still have to wait for sentencing. So we'll see, you know, what transpires after that. But 3 guilty verdicts, we can't complain there. I know this was a huge win, for all of us. So I'm happy to see it. We will be back next week. You guys are running low on time. We got 1 minute. Dwayne, tell the people how they can get a hold of you.
D-Wiz.
D, you there?
My bad. LaPorte Clan is the place to get me on Instagram.
All right.
Yes, sir. And Big Marv, I'm at Mimi. Yeah. B1GMRB on the gram, y'all. Holla at your man.
All right, you guys. We are on the gram. We have our show, Gameplay. You guys know you can tune in every Wednesday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6:30 Mountain Standard Time. I am your host, Mimi C. You guys can find me at official_Mimi_C. That is all of my platforms. Thank you for tuning in. Guys, I will see you next week. Great show. We gotta go. Everyone be safe out there. Coronavirus is still out there, so stay inside.
Yeah,
be safe. Exactly. We'll see y'all next week.